May it please the Court. I'm Susan Sell. I'm here for the plaintiff appellate, Eula Williams. The defendants filed the original motion to dismiss on September 17th of 2000. They did not mention a statute of limitations problem until they filed the motion to dismiss second amended complaint on May 5th, 2003. Defendant is obligated to act in a timely manner and raising all affirmative defenses they may have, and that's in Davis versus Bryant. Okay, I'm sorry. A statute of limitations defense must be raised at the earliest possible moment. That's in Home Depot versus Gustin. The Federal Rules of Civil Procedure 8C requires the defendant to plead a statute of limitations defense and any other affirmative defense in his answer to the complaint. The defendants did not raise the statute of limitations defense at the earliest possible moment. The defendants did not raise the statute of limitations defense until after the case had been filed for over 2.5 years. And may I also add, not until after they had removed it from the state court to the federal court, which brings up a form shopping issue that a defendant could, if they don't get what they want in state court, remove a court if they have grounds for federal court and move it up there and get what they want as far as on a motion to dismiss for statute of limitation grounds. The defendants did not act in a timely manner in asserting a statute of limitations defense and because they did not do it until it had been filed for over 2.5 years. Defendants have given no reason for waiting for over 2.5 years to assert a statute of limitations defense. The defendants have not asserted that they did not know about the statute of limitations defense until after the case had been filed for over 2.5 years. The defendants had a second opportunity to plead a statute of limitations defense in their answer to plaintiff's second amended complaint on September 4, 2001, and failed to do so at that time. The defendants did not seek leave of the St. Clair County, Illinois court to amend their answer. The defendants just filed the motion to dismiss second amended complaint on May 5, 2003. The purpose of Federal Rule Civil Procedure 8C is to avoid surprise and undue prejudice to the plaintiff by providing notice and the opportunity to demonstrate why the defense should not prevail. The district court has a... Right, correct. It was granted leave to amend, so it was amended twice in the state court. I believe twice, at least once.
And the removal occurred on the attachment of the federal claim.
The attachment of the federal claim became when they decided they filed it for the statute of limitation grounds. Then. I'm sorry?
It was after you raised for the first time in your amended pleading the 1983 action that it was transferred to the district court.
That's correct.
So that's what triggered the transfer, not that they lost the motion. It's that you filed and gave the federal court's jurisdiction with the 1983 action.
They lost on the motion to dismiss on statute of limitations grounds.
Complaint to the 1983 action, they had a right to transfer it. Up till that time, they had no right to transfer it.
No, there was no way that changed the action until that time. Correct. The district court has the discretion to allow an answer to be amended to assert affirmative defense not raised at the outset. The pertinence of a particular defense may only become apparent after discovery. For example, in this case, it would be reasonable for the court to permit the belated assertion of the defense. That is not true of the statute of limitations defense in this case. The defendants knew before any discovery was conducted that the one-year statute of limitations to file against government agencies had run before the case was filed. The defendants did not assert that defense until over 2.5 years later when they knew from the beginning the statute of limitations had run. The defendants did not act in a timely fashion under any set of facts and asserting a statute of limitation defense over 2.5 years after the case was filed. Defendants knew or should have known about the statute of limitations defense when the case was filed in September of 2000. It's not fair to the plaintiff for the defendants to wait until after the case has been filed for over 2.5 years and assert a statute of limitations defense. The defendant's motion to dismiss plaintiff's fourth amendment complaint should be denied under the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure 8C, and the case is decided under the rule and not granted by the district court. Defendant's motion to dismiss plaintiff's third amended complaint should be denied, and defendant should not be allowed to assert a statute of limitations defense because untimely under Davis v. Bryant. And then Judge Herndon, in his memorandum order dated January 28, 2004, ruled that the defendants had not waived the statute of limitations defense because plaintiff appellant had repeatedly not amended the complaint to allege a Section 1983 claim until within 2 years, and that plaintiff appellant counsel misunderstood Federal Rule Procedure 8B. Judge Herndon ruled incorrect on both issues. The plaintiff appellant counsel did not misunderstand FRCP 8B. Plaintiff's appellant counsel had never asserted that the defendants has never asserted that the defendant's appellants had to assert the statute of limitations defense when they first answered or forever be barred from asserting it. The plaintiff appellant has only asserted that the defendant appellants had asserted the defense at the early possible moment or be barred. Plaintiff's appellant's defense comes from the case law and since the fairness and non-misreading of FRCP 8B. A defendant should not be allowed to wait for over 2.5 years and then assert the defense after plaintiff and her attorney have expended considerable time and energy and are proceeding with the case and then have the case dismissed. They still had when they were filing in state court. I mean, they knew from the beginning that the 1 year for government entities had gone. And they could assert that defense along with the other motion to dismiss that they filed. You know, they could assert it all at the same time in state court. Well, once they had got through their other two attorneys, yes, and when they filed this case, you know, and when they filed in federal court, when it was removed, yes, they filed this at the earliest possible moment in the federal case once it was removed. I would still say that even though, I mean, once they had it removed, they did it, you know, they did the federal cause of action dismissal within the time period, but they should still have done that, you know, all, you know, going back to the state court, not let this case linger in the state court for this amount of time, then when they get a new attorney, have it removed and then file this defense. I believe it's the second minute.
Once that federal claim was added, which sponsors the removal, the defendant has already foregone any opportunity to assert any statute of limitations defense, even for the new 1983 claim.
Because they knew, you know, they knew once I was amending the complaint. Right, that they should still have asserted it earlier. That's what I'm saying. Thank you.
Unrath? Yes, my name is Craig Unrath. I represent the appellees. Counsel has invoked federal rules of civil procedure and federal case law to...
This is the sheer devil of it. Were you a trial lawyer?
No, I was not.
You're only the appellate lawyer?
Only the appellate lawyer... We went through a series of lawyers. Our firm only became involved on the... That may be true. I think that we've had some bad lawyering on both sides of this.
The only issue is whether or not, as you see it, I suppose, whether or not their failure to raise it waives the statute of limitations both in the state and the federal courts for all acts. Am I correct?
That is her contention.
Waived, you win. If we say it was waived, you lose. Am I right?
That's correct.
There we go. So what else are you going to tell us now?
Not very much, Your Honor. This is about the shortest appellate brief I've ever written, and I think that the issues are resolved entirely under the Perry v. Sullivan case, which states quite clearly that as long as we raise this in a motion, in this case a motion to dismiss, if we have not answered...
timely raised within a few short months?
In this case, we filed our motion to dismiss immediately upon removal to the federal court. I'm sorry. Upon removal, the moment this case arrived in federal court, we immediately filed a motion to dismiss.
How long after the case was originally commenced?
If we take into account the state court action, many years.
And is that proper? Isn't it supposed to be filed shortly after the filing of the complaint?
Under federal rules, yes, Your Honor. But we are not in this case, the only delay occurred in state court. And one point I'd like to make here, Your Honor. In each case, she filed amended complaints. Once an amended complaint is filed, all previous pleadings become a nullity. We start again. The statute of limitations argument was raised in state court. Her response was to seek leave.
In relation to the time of the filing of the original complaint.
A number of years afterwards.
Now my same question over again. Is that timely?
I would say that this court has no jurisdiction to address the...
where a defendant has not raised a statute of limitations issue for more than a few months, that defense can be deemed waived?
In federal court action. And this did not... there was no delay in the federal court. Yes, and I would say, Your Honor, that if this case had originated in federal court, and had we delayed many months or years in federal court, which we did not do, and she responded upon filing upon our raising the statute of limitations defense, had she filed an amended complaint, again, we have no delay. All previous pleadings have been nullified. We start from scratch. We can respond to that, not with an answer, but with a motion to dismiss. I should also like to emphasize that the general rule is that in cases where a defendant has filed an answer and neglected to mention the statute of limitations defense, the general rule is that courts will allow them to amend the answer, to raise this, if there's no surprise. Where is the surprise here?
Now,
exactly, Your Honor. Now, how can we assume that our trial counsel, the numerous different trial counsels that represented defendants here, had any greater knowledge than plaintiff?
What's the violation of Cahokia, by the way?
I couldn't tell you, but I would be willing to venture a guess that it's rather small. I don't have that figure. I don't have that figure available. Well, apparently not. And apparently the defendants... no, I'm not, Your Honor. The plaintiff's strongest case is the Venters v. City of Delphi case. And in my brief, I pointed out that the determinative factor in the distinguishing that case from our own is that in Venter, they filed an answer to the complaint. And I isolated that as the determinative factor. I was wrong about that. When you read the case, it's clear, number one, that the Venter case recites the general rule that a defendant will be allowed to amend his complaint as long as there's been no surprise or prejudice. Number two, you look at the facts, the circumstances at issue in Venters. In that case, this was not a matter of somebody missing the limitations period by a matter of years like it is in this case. It was a matter of missing it by 3 months. They first raised it. After filing their answer, they filed a motion for summary judgment, and even then, they didn't raise the limitations defense until their reply memorandum. Now, the court, upon, and this is the part I love, plaintiff's counsel arrived had not having even been given a chance to review the reply memorandum. The court refused to allow her to file a surreply. The court gave her one day to come up with evidentiary material to oppose the limitations argument, and then summarily dismissed the case. That isn't what happened here. I also would like this court to take into account, when we look at how much time has elapsed, look at the actual orders that have been issued in this case in the state court. See that plaintiff has been allowed 14 days to file an amended complaint, and we wait 4 to 6 months to get that complaint filed. Note that much of the delay that occurred in this case in the state court action is due entirely to plaintiff's counsel's. That may very well be true, Your Honor, but here in the federal court, and this is true. The important thing I think to remember, Your Honor, is that the had plaintiff stood, had raised this objection in state court, because this limitations defense was raised, tardy, but it was raised in state court. Had she stood on her complaint there, she could have argued in state court that this is tardy and has been waived. She didn't. She filed an amended complaint, a third amended complaint. That brings us in a federal claim, gets us into federal court, and now we start from scratch. That's our position in this case. Thank you, Your Honor.
I just wanted to make clear that they mentioned no statute of limitations problem, not even in state court. They didn't mention the governmental 1 year till May 5th of 2003, when it was filed on November 17th of 2000. That's still over 2.5 years. And also, they said that requiring the defendant to plead all affirmative defenses before the complaint had been clarified would defeat the purpose of the pleading rules. In this case, they knew from when they filed the original motion to dismiss that the one-year statute, they could bring that up. I mean, they knew that from the very beginning, the one-year statute. And they chose not to bring it up in their initial pleading. They chose not to bring it up until May 5th, 2000, the motion dismissed May 5th, 2003. Yes. And I responded, and then that's when I brought in the federal claims. Thank you.